Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Marty Oakley of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this is the TS Radio Network. Our show tonight is Whistleblowers, and it's brought to you in coordination with Marcel Reed and the Whistleblowers Summit, taking place at the end of every July, every year in Washington, D.C. And hopefully, if you can make it out there, we'll see you there. We're going to be revisiting the VA again tonight, and somebody in the background is making a lot of noise. Quit it. Quit it. We can hear everything. But we're going to be talking about the VA. Now, we have visited this topic many, many times with many veterans and employees of the VA. And this agency is operating at such a level of dysfunction. And as I said to my guests right before the show, I believe this is intentional. They want to privatize it. There's a lot of money to be made, taxpayer funding to be supplied, if they can privatize it, which means that whatever benefits our veterans are getting now are going to be severely reduced. What will happen once it's privatized? You won't be able to get anything in discovery, any files. You won't be able to get anything because they'll claim it's trade secrets and proprietary information, and you won't be able to touch it. So this is all a setup that they're orchestrating. I truly believe that. But what is happening to people who are employed there? Sean Higgins there in Memphis, Tennessee, who just relocated to Florida. But Sean exposed the VA there in Memphis 54 different times, got him on the news there, filed all over the place, and they are still operating just like they did. So this is just how it goes. Our guest tonight is a man, Robert Bozgoz, who worked at the VA, and apparently, somewhere around Martin Luther King Day, he had put in for overtime and was denied it. And in turn, he sued the VA over it, and they tried to turn him into a criminal for doing so. Robert and Sue, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Well, thank you very much, Marty. Yes. How are you doing this evening?
No, I'm doing well. I hope you are, too. Robert, can you tell us a little bit about what precipitated all of this? Give us a little idea of what happened there.
Well, we have to go back to 2016. And I've got feedback in my ears, so I'm going to go out there and try to get off the headset and go onto the phone.
Can you hear me
okay
better now? Great. Well, I just didn't want to go out there and make it difficult to hear for anybody. But the situation was back in 2016, I had some issues with my then director, who was my direct supervisor at the time, and had asked my wife, Sue Bozgoz, who's a retired lieutenant colonel in the Army, to assist me with that. And she had reached out to my director and the next level of chain of command to make some requests for reasonable accommodations. We thought everything was in good place at the time, and everything was going fine up until January of 2018. We had a couple other events that happened in, but January 2018 is kind of what kicked off the cycle of abuse and retaliation, as I like to put it.
Okay. And what were they – tell us what they were coming after you for.
Back in 2016?
Mm-hmm.
Or you were talking about 2018. I didn't know how much background you wanted me to put in there.
Well, okay, go ahead and jump to 2018. And what was happening then?
As in 2018, what had happened was our office was behind. I worked at what is known as the Veterans Benefit Office of Client Relations. You know, usually end up scheduled working several hours of overtime during the week. Had requested permission to work overtime on the Saturday and the Sunday leading up to Martin Luther King's birthday. On the 11th, uh-huh. I had seen an email that said that the overtime would be canceled for that Sunday. They did inform us in that email that, you know, if you wanted to work, you know, contact your supervisor and, you know, make the request to work. Well, needless to say, I saw that message, you know, sent a very, very nice, appropriate reply back to it, said, hey, I'm all interested in taking care of veterans. I volunteer to work on Sunday. Needless to say, when I went back and checked my email later that day, I only worked 2 hours that that day and had an automobile issue I had to attend to. I received a very, very terse reply that said, no overtime for you, dot, dot, dot. Unfortunately, in my absence during the time that I was attending to this mission on annual leave for the greater part of the day, there was a message that came out that said, you know, we're not going to work leave for, and they put some well-rounded words and thinking in that. However, you know, the message I got says, none for you, dot, dot, dot. There wasn't any reference to that earlier message. You know, that was
okay.
Just out there for me. And, you know, this is like 8, 9 o'clock at night. I'm getting ready to pack up and go into work the next day and the like. And I sent back a message that said, you know, hey, wait a second. What's the deal here? You know, are you telling me, you know, that I can't work because I'm white? I put some other language in there regarding kind of the way my father used to treat me when I was a child. His response to a lot of things was, because I said so. You know, he was
yes.
not a man that, you know, was felt the need to explain himself. So, I mean, you know, not to fault him for that, but, you know, it's not exactly like he's doing a good job of raising his son, but, you know, basically pushing him off. And that's the way I had felt. And had
mm-hmm.
put a rather lengthy message that had gone out to both my immediate supervisor, the director, and everyone that was assigned to my team, challenging that decision.
I would like to jump in real quick and say something because Robert is an ethical person, and he's been very vocal about this one.
I can't hear her at all.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay, I had it on mute.
Uh-huh.
So, sorry. I wanted to say something. I wanted to say that Robert is an ethics attorney, and
okay.
he knows what right looks like. And he's also, when you have reasonable accommodations, and when it was reasonable accommodation 2016, when I jumped in and started it, it said he has an ADA representative, that's me, and when he asks a question, because he's so meticulous, his supervisor answers, responds. That's part of a reasonable accommodation. VA gets trillions and trillions of dollars not to violate the 1973 Rehabilitation Act. People that have disabilities.
Right.
So, and so when he asks a question, they don't respond. They're violating the law. It's a civil right. Oh, and
right.
because he's got silent scars, and you don't want to, you know, aggravate, exacerbate it. And also, when he questions, is, you know, why did you tell me no? Is it because I'm white? And what he hasn't said as well is, I'm black, he's white. They don't know that. They didn't know that. And I've always been his ADA advocate over the phone or via email. And so
uh-huh.
when he said, hey, why did you tell me no? Is it because he knew in the back of his mind they'd been mistreating him. He was the only white guy in that office. And
uh-huh.
They've done some things to him, and he just overlooked it. And this time, on Martin Luther King Day, he said, Sue, look, you know, we're the reason – Martin Luther King's the reason why we're married. I've got to stand up and say something. because I saw the message and I said, well, Robert, maybe you need to back up. Maybe I can assist and help. Now, I've always emailed them when he had an issue where they're violating his rights. And this time, because he was so concerned and he knew one of the other reasonable accommodations in 2016, I said, get rid of Angela and then also replace her with another supervisor. Now, the supervisor, I'm only going to say her name because she's got us on criminal charges, and I wasn't even there. So I'm going to call her VJ. So I told VJ I had to go up there with him the next day because he was just really concerned that he was dealing with somebody that was prejudiced as well. And they didn't know I was black. I walk in, and you could see they're like, oh, whoa, okay, you got a sister. And I said, okay, I'm going to I focus on DJ because she's his new supervisor, and I can look through the side of the door. His Angela is adjacent to DJ's office, and she doesn't say that he's got reasonable accommodation. And VA has sent me to wound warding, has sent me to school to be a voc rehab.
Sue, you're echoing. There you go. You need to get closer to the phone there. You're echoing.
I'm echoing?
Yeah.
Robert, do you? Yeah. Okay, maybe. Yeah.
Does that help?
Oh, can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Am I echoing?
There you go.
Okay, maybe
now
we're
you're fine.
We both have two telephones. Okay, yeah. He's got to get on another phone. But anyway, the bottom line up front is too many people fought long and hard for us to have civil rights, and we can't disappoint them. And what they're doing is they're gaslighting people and saying that, we're going to do not violate the 1973 Rehabilitation Act or the ADA law, because that's how we get our money. But they're doing it anyway. And so what they did when I came there, they interfered with the law. They kicked me out. And then they did, because Robert was concerned that, how they treated me, and we know the law. We're not stupid. We know. You can't gaslight us. And Robert's an attorney. I'm an ADA representative, been in and out of court. And because I read facial expressions, I thought, okay, so let's just go. And then that's when it really started. The retaliation started when I came in there and we initiated an EEO complaint. When we initiated the EEO complaint, we discovered, because, you go rules and regulations and everything, and we discovered that the ORM process, the EEOC process, is rigged. And what people don't understand, they make you, everything is gaslighted. And I tell you what, when you go out there, we had 21 claims and they were on time. If you go out there and you focus on 110, Directive 110, and it says that y'all or the lower agencies can make up their own rules and regulations and policies, but you have to abide by 110. So because I didn't work at VA, I go all the way to the top because you never pay attention to the policy because higher Supreme Court rules or directive in ORM realm, you go to the 110. And so I'm sitting up here and I'm looking at the rules and regulations, and I'm seeing that they're shortchanging us because I am complaining about accommodation civil rights, and they're manipulating the system by taking your claims and say you have 21 claims that are legitimate, they're throwing them out and they're making their own claims. So, and then they're locking it into the SAFE system. The SAFE system is out of Redstone. Now, when I complained about it, I did go and I did talk to General Dunford, and I told him what was going on, and I told him, sir, they're manipulating the Army system, and you got to do something, because I didn't tell you was it got so bad with Robert that I had to step in as his ADA advocate so he could go to work and focus on helping veterans. He literally went to work, put headphones in to block everything out, and whenever they messed with him, he had me go out there and he said, deal with them. That way, when you have an outside person like me, I can ask them anything. But if you have an inside person as your ADA representative, then, you know, they can really retaliate. So they were really
right.
retaliating against him by giving him, you know, letters of reprimand. And they said that he violated the federal law by copy furnishing me. Now, keep in mind, for 2 years, he's been emailing me because I'm his ADA representative. It's almost as if if you're blind, if you need accommodations, you know, see an eye dog, then that's what you get for accommodations.
Right.
He needs me, ADA. So it's locked in. The law says, Executive Order 13164 says, if somebody asks you for reasonable accommodation, either orally or in writing, you got to give it to them. And you can't just
mm-hmm.
cancel it. Now, what they did in Robert's situation, in 2016, they started it. And then in 2018, because we filed an EO complaint, they lost his packet plus his medical records. They punished him.
Oh.
And why? Because I walked in there. When I walk in there as his accommodation and you kick me out, that means you're violating the 1973 Rehabilitation Act. So in order to correct their problem, they had to get rid of me by saying 2016 reasonable accommodation did not exist. So, and then
oh.
I'm like, what the heck? And so what they did was they said, hey, we lost it. I'm like, what do you mean you lost it? No, you can't. You better do a Privacy Act violation against yourself. You got to read your own regulations, 5973. And then what you do is you go out there and you tell them, and then you start taking the test for them when they start violating their own policies. And I said, hey, look, I took it for you, your manager, and you need to abide by it. And they didn't. It's almost as if they're coming back and they're acting nice and they're saying, okay, or they're ignoring your email. And I said, well, when you're in the military, you don't ignore emails like this where you violate civil rights. What's going on with the VA? Because I was always an ADA advocate or an ambassador for the Army. That's why I know General Dunford and Andre, et cetera, and I help Wounded Warriors. So when this started happening to my husband, I dropped all of my other Wounded Warriors, even participating in the Wounded Warrior Games, and I focused on my husband because his disability, he is a highly functional person with limited reasonable accommodations. And then when he knew that they were doing all this to him, padding his records, and then also let me tell you something. When you go through the ORM EEOC system, you have someone at ORM, another entity, that goes out there and directs the supervisor to violate Robert's rights. What they do is they send you EEO, ORM document saying, okay, this is the schedule, this is what happens, this is what you need to do. And then they send the supervisor something similar, but they are saying this to the supervisor. And somebody accidentally or on purpose sent it to me because they know I like to talk. And what they said was, BJ or Angela, what you need to do is you got 10 days to find out Robert Bosgaard's Social Security number. You got 10 days to find out his beneficiary's information, his dependents' information. And then once you do that, you turn it into me under the name of Cindy Boyd. And, you know, I'm looking at this, and I called Cindy Boyd, and I said, what the heck are you doing? Do you have anything to do with my delayed separate incident now? Does it have anything to do with my delayed PTSD claim that I put in 2012? Do you know when? And she came back and she says, I don't know what you're talking about. BJ is lying. And I'm like, what? And so I go out there on the 29th of October. And when I accuse her and I show her this document that I'm telling you about, do you know my claim got approved that day? So what they're doing, and what they're doing as well is, you have to quickly know this, and you got to quickly ask for your Freedom of Information Act, all of this information in your files, because they're violating your Privacy Act, privacy. And they're not just violating your privacy, they're violating anybody that is connected to you. Robert had another ADA representative that she doesn't talk to me now simply because what they do is they go out there and diminish your if you have any type of benefit. And I mean, they took $1,000 from her a month, you know? And so a lot of people don't want to help you because they have the control and they're going in your records. They're really hurting. So Robert, I mean, do you have any questions?
Well, you know, the thing is, I had a lady on here about 3 years ago, Denise Cauldron, and she wrote a book called Stall, Deny, and Hope They Die. And it was about her travels through the VA and how they would, you know, and it's similar to what you're talking about, how they would file a complaint or a form, whatever they needed to do, and they would move it to another desk and then start the process over again because it was in a different location. Might be the desk right next to it, but it was at a different desk, so now they started it all over again, and how they stalled this out. And this is basically what I'm hearing here, this stalling. And did they come up with any reason at all as to why, other than what you assume was the reason, why he couldn't have overtime that day?
Well, what they came up with some mess, but first of all, what they don't understand that we know, but you always go not to their policy, you go to their 13164. But you always go to the executive order or you go to the Supreme Court ruling. In this case, the law says if you fall under the American disability, if you have any type of disability, I would highly recommend everybody go to HR and ask for a reasonable accommodation, because the presidential executive order says if you're going to offer me something or somebody else that doesn't have challenges something, then you're going to offer somebody with a disability the same thing. So what I'm saying is if the field office or higher says that everybody can work, you can't work on in Robert's case on the weekend. However, everybody can work on Martin Luther King, the King Day. That means that his section, his boss, his supervisor can't go above that authority and say, oh, guess what? Because Robert, you asked, you're not going to get it, dot, dot, dot. That's exactly what they did. So he's protected. When you do this, when they do this, they violate your rights. But what they do is they gaslight you, just with the judicial system, with the EEOC system. And then also we had to take our EEO and ORM process. When we found out what they're doing is they're manipulating the process, and they're also hiring third parties. When you go out there and you know that something's wrong, you say, hey, I got an opportunity to take this out because you guys are bad. And you say, okay, you have a right. When you see something wrong and they're violating your rights, when it goes to the ORM or the EOC process, you say, I want another agency to look at this. So what they're doing is they're using like the USP, the postal office, and then the postal office is going out there and hiring a third-party contractor. And this third-party contractor is gathering all your information, even your medical information, all your information.
Wait a minute. You're talking about the Postal Service?
Yes, USPS. Yes, they're bad,
and I can
prove it.
How do they get into this?
Okay, so check this out. This is what they do, because you can go in any agency. And so what they do is they go out there, and they're not supposed to be paying this agency because it's like the agency working for them, but this is what they do. And I'm going to tell you this because we're going through it right now, and I'm exposing everything because what they also do is they got this conspiracy of silence and try to violate your First Amendment rights. When I saw this shit going on, I said, you know what, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to put all this on the video. And then they focus on giving you a peace order, and they, like they did with in our case, and then they force you to violate your peace order, and then your peace order becomes a criminal. You become a criminal. And that's what we're dealing with right now because we open our mouths and
expose. You're echoing again.
Robert, are you okay? Robert, are you close to me?
I'm in the kitchen.
Okay, he's in. Okay, what about now?
Okay, now you're
I know,
better.
I can't. Okay, good.
Yeah.
So, right. Okay, so what's happening is they've got third-party contracts, even workers' compensation. Okay, so you know what they did was Robert's disability became so bad. Now, let me tell you something. He's been working there for 16, 17 years with no problem. And all of a sudden, because they want to retaliate and focus on people that talk back or stand up for their rights, because what they want is they want someone. I'm going to go up because I can hear the echo. I'm going upstairs. What they want is they want people that are like empty suitcases to work at VA because when you got robots working, they do anything.
Yeah.
And so and they what they're doing is they're firing a lot of the VA workers that are in the military because military, you know, we're wired tight and we're different because when you go out there, and when you're in the military, you know you have your oath and you take everything seriously because what you're taught, what you do and what you don't do determines on whether or not somebody
This is Rob. Can I jump in for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure.
Yes, Marty, can you hear me okay? I went back on headset.
Yes.
It's a little easier for me to talk that way. If there's a problem,
okay.
I'll go ahead and go back to my phone.
Okay, no, that's fine.
There was a discussion about the U.S. Post Office being an EEO claim service provider.
Yes.
I sent you a link to a 2017 Federal News Radio Network article from March 9th of 2017, and apparently from what they were saying that they are – the leading equal employment opportunity services provider for 28 to 29 other agencies. And at that time, they were handling 60% of all federal EEO complaints and they're looking to expand. So that's
great.
Something that I thought that you you might be interested in to share that with your listeners.
Yes.
Because it's pretty telling to me. I'll probably let Sue talk about the experiences we had with the investigator and such like that.
Right.
I know she's kind of going covering some other areas, but that was the kind of the key thing that we finished out 2018 with, and what kind of brought 2019 to a start.
Let me say something about the U.S. Post Office because they do wire fraud, and so when we took our ORM complaint. And we discovered what was going on, and what is going on is you file a complaint, and you have 21 claims, or we had 21 claims, and everything was on time. And let me tell you, if you go out there and you do, you get a notice, right to transfer or go to the next phase, you always certify mail receipt because if you go to court. What they look at is they look at that proof, your certified mail receipt, and also make sure that your claims are tight simply because what they do is that you think you're filling out your right claims, but they will manipulate the claims and lock it into, like I said, the safe server, and it was controlled by Redstone Army Arsenal. It just recently like 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, they transferred it over to DOD. And I did make a complaint to General Dunford, and I said, look, sir, you got to get involved, because if not, you got to be a defendant on our claim, or you got to do the right thing, because they are harming a lot of people that they're violating civil rights, and they're your relief. What they're doing is, when you're a whistleblower, they attack. They got a playbook, and the first thing that they do is they deny you your rights, and they act as if you don't have anything. And then, because their main focus is to take all your money away, take all your time, and then also not give you time if you're doing anything against them. And the mediation, also the mediation is there. What we learned when you go through the mediation, it's there to see what kind of information you got against them. And what we learned also is the general counsel, Barnes, he is James Barnes. He was the head person on the general counsel who just got elected by the Senate to be the second in charge. I think it was last week. But let me tell you something. He is the main defendant in our RICO case, because he set us up in our case. And I invite everybody to go to Bozgaz versus James, because our case, what we've done is everybody that is corrupt and we can prove it, we added them to the list recently, and that includes the district court judges. What they did when I say set us up, when we moved our case, and you can move your case after 180 days. But let me tell you, when you go through that 180 days through the ORM EEOC process, it, within VA, it's a torture. They got 180 days to torture you, to file false charges against you, to make you into a dirtbag. Robert has not had a disciplinary problem. What they've done is they've given him, since 11th of January, when he complained, they started padding his files, going in his files, giving him letters of reprimand. And he's an attorney, so what they did was they gave him a letter of reprimand under the Federal Act, and he just rolled his eyes and said, okay, so this is what they're doing. I'm like, doggone it, why are you giving them a letter of reprimand under the Federal Act? That's to preserve
the Federal Records Act, what she's referring to. And as you know, they modified that act after Ms. Clinton had her personal email server, because they needed to be able to maintain things that, government employees sent out, but, and keep it in-house to the greater extent possible. However, they wrote it up as if I were doing the exact same thing that she was doing, whereas all I did was using my work email account to CC my wife on a number of messages.
And so what they do is they make up stuff, and then they say, okay, well, we are just doing our supervisor duty, and we're trying to – it gaslights you so bad. You just have to roll your eyes. And when you respond, because they say, okay, you got – the policy says you got 30 days to respond. When you respond and they get the response, they said, okay, denied. I'm like, what? Do you even read your own rules? You're not even supposed to respond to this. It's supposed to be a division chief. You are not a division chief. And so you argue, but they don't do anything. And so you don't have a leg to step on until you wait until that 180 days. And let me tell you, if that 180 days, after the 180 days, if it's not settled, and sometimes they just give you a bone if you really got a lot on you, because what they're doing through that 180 days is trying to pick information out of you to use against you. In our case, because we realized they're not following their rules, we said, okay, we want an outside agency to we want to use the rights, Directive 110. And then we had the agencies, investigators say, well, we don't have any funds. I'm like, BS. that we're not going there. So we had to go outside of this district to another district, and we said, hey, look at the corruption. This is what's going on. They're not doing it right. And so we had to go outside and have someone else say, yeah, you guys are wrong. And once we did that, I'm sure
let me jump in here for a second just to,
okay.
to amplify that point a little more. From the time we got the initial affidavit from the VA till the time we've got the decision to move it to the post office was a period of time of about 2 weeks. However, it took another like 3-4 weeks before we were able to even get anything from that investigator. And unfortunately, I only got paid for a total of 16 hours of administrative time while we're waiting on the government administrative processes to move forward with my complaint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because what they do is they want to oppress you and make you like, they want to put you in a corner. And, you know, with Robert, I just told him, I said, let's just quit. As a matter of fact, his doctor said, just go ahead and quit. You really, you know, the world won't end. And he says, I gave 17 years of my life to helping veterans, and all of a sudden they want to make me into a dirtbag? No. And I'm like, all righty. So I had to really stick by him, and I told him, look, you focus on helping veterans. I'll focus on just trying to make them do the right thing. Every time that they violated his rights, I gave him the Supreme Court law or the federal law that they're violating. And every time, and I even took tests for him. I said, look, I passed your VA test on ADA and this. Why don't you guys learn it? Because you get congressionally appropriated funds to be trained. And if you're not using that funds to get trained, what you doing? Where is it going? You need to tell me, you know, what you're doing wrong. And you got, they got like today in court, I told a supervisor, I said, look, aren't you, because she was gaslighting, and I said, hey, look, uh-huh. BJ, aren't you certified? And I had her training records with me, because when you go through the EEOC process and go and uh-huh. give it to the post office, they do a transmittal letter. And I told them, I said, you know, before you violate the wire fraud, and I told this post office, there's perjury going on. They're signing their names, and they're BSing you, and that is a felony. You can go out there and sue them under 18-1001. And what they do is they don't pay attention. They just go out there and send you that stuff anyway. And I'm thinking, this is so crazy. They are so bold because they've been doing it for 20 years. You were at the
yes.
whistleblower conference. They said it's mm-hmm. been going on for 20. And I said, look, you guys, I stood up there. If you have a chance, Jade DeNaro and Becky, oh, they supported us today. They came to court to
yep.
With us
oh,
today.
Oh, excellent.
And, and it's great. We need more people in court, because what these courts are doing from the state to the district, they're gaslighting us. And I've got to do a class on subject matter jurisdiction. I've got some videos out there. I just started posting them mm-hmm. because they constantly give you orders not to go out there and tell on them. Like today, today they said, okay, you can't do this to her. Can't. I'm like, what? You're not even following the rules. Is Chris online? Because I don't know.
No.
If he's not online yet. Okay, so, but
no.
This person, they got us on the 6th of June when the judge decided to give us our summons where we could deliver them. And when we hired a private person to order to deliver the summons, but it was very difficult. So I decided, okay, what we're going to do is I'm Voc Rehab, my son, we're going to fly him out from Idaho to here. And we started delivering them. And it got so bad on the 31st of May, Angela Dodge service, and I was fussing, and the state's attorney, Fred Haynes, said, "Hey, Colonel Boskos, if you have a problem with serving, go in and get with Daryl Blackwell, the policy and building person, and he will go out there and coordinate everything." But what they did was they set us up. And they set us up by saying, "Oh, all you got to do is come there and we'll have everybody dressed right." And I'm like, "Yeah, right." So what we decided to do was go out and still hit the leaders like Dr. Paul Lawrence and all these other guys. You do research, because you'll find that the problem is they're letting people like the supervisors go out there, and they call them throwaways. They're like scapegoats, and they violate your rights. And should something happen, your supervisor, this supervisor is going to be tossed out, not them. And what in our particular case, it was the state's U.S. Assistant Attorney Fred Haynes, and he, when we busted him, he retired real quick. Because when you guys got a conspiracy going on, you sue them under 118-1001. I want everybody to write that down, because when you have all these people, and a lot of people don't know that. And then when you go to court, if you got a judge gaslighting you, and they all, what I'm finding even today, they got to establish subject matter jurisdiction. They don't teach us about subject matter jurisdiction in our schools, because they want to keep us stupid. They don't want us to learn it. Now, subject matter, so you have two different types of jurisdiction. You have, you know, where you, the location. If you're in this location, okay, this, that, and then also subject matter jurisdiction. And so what we're finding is when you challenge subject matter jurisdiction, for example, if you go out there, okay, so let me explain it so it's really easy for a lot of folks. There's four legs to a table. That means the defendant needs to be in there, the defendant, the plaintiff, then there has to be a competent witness, and then there has to be someone that the subject matter that you're focusing on, it has to be complete, where if they're suing you for, in our case, what are they suing us for, Robert? We're criminals. What are they suing us for? Harassment. So, you know, you have the statute for harassment. So that means there's got to be someone that says no to you. And when you go out there and you look at the petition, and if the petition has lies in it, and in my case, this person said I was at her house stalking her with weapons. And usually when they put weapons in there, that means the Patriot Act. They can go out there and the FBI can bust into your house and stuff. And I wasn't at this particular person's house serving, but she said she did a fake police report. She did a fake peace order, because that peace order, what? It turned into criminal if they lie and say you violated it. So she's got this. She says, I was at her house, and I'm driving a Honda, and I drive a Mustang. I got weapons in my car, and I was at her house with her son. I'm stalking her. I'm harassing her. I'm trespassing. And it also says at the end, if you got to raise your right hand, and if you're lying, that's perjury, then it's a felony or a misdemeanor, and you go to jail. She goes to jail. And then she says, this is what I don't want them to do. I don't want them to post social media. Why? Because they don't want the world to know about
what they're doing.
Corruption. Exactly.
Yes.
And so I'm saying,
Sue.
And I think
we've got Chris on here. Hang on a second.
Okay.
I've been going through these numbers you were talking. Is that Chris?
Yeah, I've been here, guys. I'm like, oh my God, I'm here. I'm here.
I have a full call board, so I have a full call board. I'm looking at the numbers, trying to find you. Okay, go ahead. Tell everybody who you are.
Yeah, I'm very much here. I'm very much here. I can't wait to offer my two cents here. Go ahead, guys.
We love Chris. I'm telling you. Okay, go ahead. I can't even remember what I was talking about because I got so excited because he's online. Because there's a lot of people. You know, there's
you were
a
talking
lot
about the social media,
the
social media aspect.
Yeah.
Yeah. The
yeah, they don't want you to share. That's why a lot of people, they get scared because they think when you walk into a court, especially when you have this judge with this robe, and they're violating your due process, right? And they're gaslighting you. And you
mm-hmm.
got to remember, a lot of people have to remember, that judge works for you. When that judge violates your rights, everybody should know the amendments, et cetera, simply because when you go, especially subject matter jurisdiction, because I'm seeing constantly over and over again that they're not establishing, there's no competent witness. They're just lying. And
right.
when you challenge it, they go out there and then you're guilty of something that you shouldn't even be guilty. I wasn't even there. So go ahead, Chris. I'm excited
okay.
that you're
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's so much to talk about right here. There is one thing that you haven't mentioned is that there is an overarching amount of information out there now about various whistleblower abuses that the VA sustains, okay? It's their mm-hmm. modus operandi, okay? And it's out there. NPR has done stories. It's all out there, okay? The Trump allegedly created this, an overseeing panel and all that to monitor this. But, of course, what they're doing is they're taking that information, as the Bozgozes have said, taking that information and then using it against you, okay? And we saw this in their case where they said, hey, give us a settlement demand. Well, the Bozgozes has authored it. I edited it a little bit. I reviewed it, presented it. And I've won in civil rights lawsuits, you know, jury trials, and settled probably dozens of cases in my career, right? As an attorney and as an advocate for other people, I've helped them out. And what they did was they sat there for a week and then came back and gave us nothing, okay? So basically they just used our information to say, okay, all right, now we got to go into the next groove and go further, you know, to shut them down. And what they're doing, and people right now, there is stuff going on in federal court that needs to be discussed, and I want to get to there in a moment. But right now, as far as this criminal process that's going on, okay, I want to communicate this to the listeners very succinctly, okay, because I've been through this before, all right, with other people who got a restraining order on me and then it was dismissed. What is going on is simple. There is either under harassment or under stalking, there is a predicate offense that must be established, okay? And that predicate offense is basically it's not possible if you have a valid legal purpose for what you are doing. All that the Bozgoss family was trying to do was to initiate service of process, okay, of the federal complaint against Bonsell James on a public street in front of her house. Let's get that clear. Lance, their son, never entered her driveway. He did what he's supposed to do, and I have pictures of it in all the videos. He stands at the end of the driveway, okay? He was aggressively pursued by Bonsell James' husband, who comes out and says twice, you know, you on my block now, you on my block, just totally ghetto. And then he says, that's it. You know, it's very threatening. And the guy's built, okay? You can see it on the video. He's a pretty big guy. And he's clearly cut, you know? And it's like, how can you ignore the fact that they are there pursuant to a lawful activity, which is, you know, service of process? So somehow or another, they get this judge, Zuberi Williams, the circuit court, to allow this to proceed and get this protective order, if you will, okay, a peace order. And so it's really void ab initio because they didn't do anything wrong. And obviously there are limits to that statute. If you show up there and claiming that you're serving someone pursuant to, you know, service of summons and a complaint, and you've got a Glock in your hand or you're toting llamas in your car, you know, yeah, you violated the law. They knew that wasn't happening. So that's where Bonsell James, and I will say her name because I'm entitled to do it, all right? She hates me because I know the law, by the way. You're allowed to post video, public video from a cell phone in that jurisdiction. I researched it. Okay, they can't touch that. So I published it.
Okay.
I had the video before they were restrained from showing it, and I put it up, and I continue to put it up every time. So they hate me with a passion. But the bottom line is that video shows conclusively that they didn't do anything in violation of a statute. The only possible way for them to have been in violation of a statute would have been if they were physically imposing or threatening, and they were not. So that's where Vonso James comes in and says, oh, she's probably dangerous and is out here and has weapons in her car, none of which was true. That is a material fact in a criminal case. That is perjury. She should be in prison. It's unbelievable
yep.
what they are doing here, okay? And they did it to what's-her-face, Miss Fox. Luckily, she was able to settle.
Yep.
She had the dirt on them, all right? But that is the key of this criminal portion right now, and they're using that as leverage to downbeat them, okay, in submission on the civil case. I've seen it happen so many times. Like I say, it's de rigueur. That's how nasty corporate defendants operate. And they know that I know because I used to be an assistant attorney general myself. I know the system. And they're like, well, you know, let's just move it along. We've got judges who are involved with big pharma, like the judge in federal court, who refuses to disclose her financial records anymore. All she said when asked to recuse was, oh, those aren't current records and they're not verified. But she never has told us what happened in those funds. What did you do with them? What is the current record? And I have had a federal
yeah.
judge recuse. I've made a federal judge recuse herself in one of my cases. You know, so I kind of know what I'm talking about. But I'm
right.
none of us are part of the cabal when it comes to the internet. And these white men, predominantly these privileged white men who run the internet, none of us are in that cabal. So they just conveniently ignore us. And that's what we're facing. And so that's why I'm asking each and every veteran out here, and I have many of them in my family, okay? I have an uncle who worked on the I forget the other plane that's not Air Force One, but the other one. I have an uncle who helped design that plane, okay? All of you guys need to band behind the Bozgoss family and get with them. And I'm going to be out there sooner or later, hopefully sooner, maybe as soon as later this month or early October. I'll be out there running 4K video to prepare interviews with people who have been wronged by the VA. I'm going to be equipped with equipment to muffle voices and change voices, and I'm going to expose this whole juggernaut, all right? And
mm-hmm.
then we'll see what happens. I don't know what they're going to do to sustain it. I don't know if they can get everybody just ignored or not, but it's going to be out there in 4K, and that is my mission right now. Back to you guys.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
they want to
oppress
you.
Okay, I still don't okay. understand what the blow-up was over this. I don't understand what caused this to become such a monumental issue.
Oh,
because they challenged authority.
That you,
that's what happened.
Yeah. It's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And what we
it.
Did was we discovered the ORM, discovered the corruption, their playbook. And if
okay.
our case goes forward, we set precedents. When you set precedents, then the corruption stops. So they
right.
So you
and then you
yeah,
have a judge,
so,
and then you, Sue, I'm cutting you off. Then you have a judge. Okay, what's her name again? Amy Jackson.
Can I jump
Jackson.
In here for a second?
Yeah, go ahead, Robert.
Go ahead, Rob. Yeah.
Okay. Because this is not just an EEO Title VII of the Civil Rights Act. We've incorporated 42 U.S.C. 1983. That was a law that passed in the 1800s, also known as
KKK.
The KKK Act. There is conspiracy, there is RICO, there is more stuff than anyone probably has anything to be able to wrap their head around, but there is a lot of stuff going on, and we're not just talking about government, you know, demands, that we're going after these individual players in their personal capacity. That's why this service of process on individuals is so critical, because
mm-hmm.
realistically, you know, government could basically walk away. However, you know, if there's folks that need to end up being responsible for that, I want to have the ability to, you know, make sure that the proper people pay for their deeds. That's all
yeah,
I have.
Yeah,
it's very complicated when you get to this area of civil rights law, and I've litigated it successfully. What you have to do, you have to show a pattern in practice, you have to, when it comes to individual actors, they technically are not liable, but what happens is if they've acted outside, clearly outside the scope of their authority, then they mm-hmm. are, and then what happens is that the corporate godhead indemnifies them and settles the lawsuit, okay? And that's what I thought
okay.
might happen when the Bosgossens presented their settlement demand. What happened is they got their chain jerked, and now Matthew Kahn is no longer the attorney. It's a new guy, and his name cracks me up because when I saw that name, I thought, wow, well, where do I know that name from? It's a real person, and I forget his name, but his name coincides with a character from, I think, Chicago Hope, who was a hospital attorney who was known as the Eel because he was able to slip out of lawsuits. It's unbelievable. This is something Kafka-esque. It is just, oh, my
well,
God. Yeah,
maybe the
up.
Character
I mean,
was
oh
based
God.
On him, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that show was like 30 years ago. He's probably like 20s then. I don't know.
Oh.
But I don't know. Yeah.
Exactly.
Excuse me. Yeah, I just see what kills me, what I'm hearing here is what I've heard in so many of these cases. It's some minuscule thing, some minor incident that under proper management would have been handled correctly and then been over with. But instead,
yep.
many other thing issues
mm-hmm.
come into ego. Yes, ego. People who are covetous.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, this kind of
so, and this is, I hear this
you.
over and over again. It's these people in these upper management jobs that the minute anything happens, I don't know if they become terrified or scared they're going to lose their position or they just feel threatened or how dare you. I don't know what it is, but it's
mm-hmm.
like everything goes berserk and it goes so far off the rails.
Mm-hmm.
I watched that video where you were trying to serve that summons.
Mm-hmm.
And
I
watched that. That woman was off the rails.
And she turned it against us like we're criminals. And I wasn't even there.
Yes.
And I'm a criminal.
Yeah.
Right.
And
she was
trying to escalate the situation. Yeah.
She
and,
told me,
my
yeah,
goodness,
she
sure.
And then,
the
she, makes,
to
and then
jail,
she makes
yeah.
an affirmative statement. She makes an affirmative statement that he was being fired or he, that he resigned in lieu of being fired because he was abusing his employees. He doesn't really have employees. He may have a supervisory capacity to some extent, but she's the one who has employees.
Yeah.
She's the manager.
Yeah.
It's so ludicrous.
It brought,
okay?
Robert, talk about that because there is manipulation in that. Resignation. Tell them so the people know, so they can watch for it. What they
oh, we haven't
said.
Talked about the fact that he was ordered back to work by her and had a stroke, and that his brother died of a stroke. They have a history
mm-hmm.
of that in their family. The VA does not care. They will kill you. They will kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what is going on with Robert. It's like, oh my God, now they're trying to put him in prison? Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was the
Robert,
feature of that video that Sue posted that I narrated a week or so ago. The top 10 times that the VA tried to kill me, yes, if, you know, one were probably willing to, I could probably stretch it out to a couple more. I started off with the first big one that January 12th when they kicked Sue out of the office when she came to assist me to get some answers on this discussion, but it's unfortunate. But the thing about it is, they proposed to fire me using 38 USC 714. Now that's a part of the law under the VA Whistleblower Protection and Accountability Act that enables the VA to fire non-senior executive service employees on an expedited basis. But that law is very precise.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
The law is very precise because it requires conduct and performance. Now, the document that I received in the mail said,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're firing you because you've taken too much time off from work. And the second part of that is we're firing you because you are medically incapable of performing your duties. It doesn't matter the fact that I'm medically incapable of performing my duties because of the VA.
Yeah,
right. Wow.
They said undue hardship. And keep in mind, everybody needs to know, if they're trying to fire you under undue hardship, only Wilkie can sign off. But what they're doing is they're having these supervisors, because they're throwaways, supervisors sending you these resignation and signing it, and they just got like $200 billion and they got to do undue hardship? Not. So everything is administrative trickery. And you, and what the way that they say it, if you don't respond to this administrative trickery, then you're okay with it. Now, VA can get away with it. However, the courts can't. What they do, like for example today.
Wait a second. Can I jump in and address administrative trickery for just one more moment, please?
And then let's proceed to Amy Berman Jackson and how she ignored your request for accommodation and hit it in the minute notes of PACER.
Let me address.
I'll give you one example of administrative trickery. July 31st, I was in Miss James' office, or BJ's office, excuse me. I'm not supposed to use that name in public. I apologize if I've done so. I'm sure I'll get a set of papers in the mail here fairly quickly. But what had happened was I was triggered because I should not be in this person's office alone. I was called in. I asked to have someone present, asked to have Sue on the phone. Denied. Mm-hmm. My only reasonable alternative was to go in with my cell phone set to voice record, which I did. It's proper in the District of Columbia, but apparently not proper if your supervisor disagrees with it. So needless to say, I got in her office and about as far as sitting down, and, you know, there's a couple of words, you know, mentioned, and I'm not able to speak to her at that point. And I answered the next question saying that my cell phone was on record by nodding. She asked that I turn it off. I stood up, picked up my phone, turned to the door, and said, she asked if I was leaving. I nodded yes. Needless to say, a week later, I've got a package in the mail, two packages in the mail, one saying that they proposed to suspend me for 5 days, the other one they proposed to find me with significant performance difficulties. Getting back let me finish the administrative trickery thing, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Lo and behold, what it was, I ended up getting suspended. They sent the MPs out to the house the last day of my suspension, and there was a decision made on the suspension. But it didn't come in the mail. It came to my work email. Well, when I'm recovering from the stroke, I'm not on my computer, work computer every day, checking on messages and such like that. But the situation was, we didn't know about that until like 3 months later, well beyond the time to do anything other than include it as an issue in the lawsuit.
He is a senior chief. And I wanted to mention, when he suffered a stroke, well, first of all, when she – VJ violated the ADA interference law by not allowing him to have me, ADA representative, in there with him, because that is the law. She said, no, Robert, come to my office, just to instigate, because by this point in time, she had invited him back to work against the board certified doctor's order to exacerbate his
PTSD. That's crucial.
But check this out. On the 30th of July, we had an interactive meeting, and I said, look, Bonsell, DJ, you can't sit up there and push yourself into my husband's cubicle because you're the trigger. If you really care for your veteran employees, don't exacerbate his PTSD by doing the opposite of what the doctor said. So she goes out there and she pushes herself and trains him one-on-one. And by this point in time, he hasn't talked, but he doesn't talk to her because she should have recruited herself a long time ago, right? So what they're doing is they brought him back against his board certified. They want him to go to, you know, the graveyard because they constantly don't listen to the doctor. They violate his rights, his ADA rights, and then all of a sudden I say, look, guys, let me tell you something. If you don't want to listen to the doctor, and Dr. Price said, hey, look, we'll have a conference. They ignored the conference that she wanted to give to them. Then they ignore all of his reasonable accommodation treatment. And what they did was on the 30th, they said, okay, well, we'll meet on the 30th. This was a planned meeting, just like this plan. 6th of June, get Sue and Boz guys into the peace orders. On the 30th, they said, okay, we'll have an interactive meeting. We had an interactive meeting. I said, look, he is a service-disabled veteran with PTSD. You constantly exacerbate it. This guy is meticulous. Whatever he thinks is his reality. And Von said, we know what you're doing, so stop it. And why don't you just recruit yourself? And also, I told her, I said, look, we did another EO complaint against y'all for violating his civil rights. And so when I say there's an EO complaint and she does anything negative to him, that's retaliation. So the 31st, the next day, what she did, she tells him, come to my office. I want to do a performance ring. Well, you just invited him back on the 18th of June. You don't have enough time to do a one-on-one reasonable accommodation. He's got a performance rating, what they're doing, because when they come back, the first thing they do, they start production. And then they hammer you so you can't do production. You got to focus on them doing something behind your back. And so
this is what's known as, it's called an adverse employment action. Okay. And let me just explain to people out here these legal terms, okay? My mother retired as an HR specialist for GE, which is one of the biggest paramilitary companies in the world ever, with Boeing, okay, and a couple of others, all right, Morton Thiokol, all those guys, right? So Honeywell, those guys, okay? I know that's what I'm talking about. So my mother, she taught me well, you know, before I even went to law school, about what goes on in corporate America and how they act and what they do. And she tried to stand up for the employees that she knew were being violated. So I had that background. Then I went into my practice. Now I probably, you know, people badmouth me all they want to and stuff, but I've settled probably, when I was practicing, at least a couple dozen employment cases based on EEOC issues and violations of people's rights. And it's just, you know, I'm watching this go on with the VA, and I'm sitting here like, you got to be kidding me. You know?
And everybody knows.
I'm involved with people who are making movies now in Hollywood. So, that's why I just say, look, you know, be it Netflix or whatever the case may be, I'm going to be getting my 4K together and putting it out there because this is just vile. I go to sleep at night with my eyes open thinking about this. It's just, I can't.
Look, Wilkie is involved and everybody that's up there, because I've always, when they didn't respond, because this is a safety and health issue, and everybody in the military is, you know, certified as far as safety. You see something, you do something. And I couldn't get Robert to quit. So when she did that and his disability, I've never seen him shake like this. I couldn't get him to quit. So I tried to work with we work with the doctor, and we constantly ask VA to help. And they turn the blind eye. And so I'm thinking, look, you guys – they would come back and they'd say, well, you're not going to get that reasonable accommodation because we don't want you in there, Sue, and you're not authorized. I'm like, you can't tell me I'm authorized. I know the rights, and I know what. And then so what they do is they got so bad that he ends up with a stroke and a jacked up face on the right side that they evacuate him to the hospital. And I'm freaking out because I don't know what's going on. I don't know why he's looking like the way that I don't know. And he's lost his memory and he's blaming stuff on me. And I'm like thinking, and his mother's crying. And I'm saying, I'm sure everything's going to be okay. So what I do is I said, I need emergency 240 emergency lean hours for Robert because he's evac. So you think that they're going to give it to him. They don't. First, they go out there and they say, take that reasonable accommodation off of that 240 hours. I said, no, because if I don't, I don't know if you guys are tricking and you're going to do something. What they did was they gave him leave without pay, and I learned this after 2 weeks. And then also, let's go back to the 31st of July when he said he's in that meeting with Bonsell. I get an emergency phone call from, because I can foresee and the doctor can foresee something going on with Robert because of his anxiety and because of these attacks are constantly coming up and up. And her father died of a stroke as well, TIA, and then he went stroke. And so we know how serious this is. And
yep.
She can foresee what's going on, and I'm trying to prevent this from happening. From putting measures in place with her, and VA's putting there and not paying attention, and now my husband is in the hospital, and I'm thinking, I don't know what's going on with him. He better freaking come normal, because that's not my husband there. I go to the VA OSHA. This is very important that people understand this. I go to VA OSHA, and I said, I want an investigation on these people doing this. And Bonsell says, no, she denies
me. Right.
So I go to the local, I go to regional, and then regional tells me, I'm sorry, I can't help. I said, bullshit. Let me tell you something. I am OSHA certified. And I know when this stuff happens, somebody better, if I ask you to do an investigation, you guys get congressionally appropriated funds too now. You better go and you better do it, because does my husband have to die first? Because that's not my husband in there. Does he have to die before somebody does their job? Because the VA OSHA said no, that's Larry Green. And I said, I called local OSHA. They told me no. And I said, nah, you can't tell me no, because I know what right looks like, and this is not right. So they give me this particular person in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, and he says, look, I've been working at VA for 10 years. They're the most corrupt, and I'm tired. What I have to do is I have to turn people around. I said, look, you better do something, because if my husband doesn't come out of this stuff, and should he die, then everybody's coming down. And so he talks to me for 2 hours, and he tells me to write a book, because guess what? Everybody in D.C. is involved, from the lawyers, the attorneys, to everyone. I'm like, what the heck? He said, yes.
Yep.
And then
let's segue into Amy Berman Jackson, the judge. Okay.
Okay.
This woman has a documented history that she only obliquely denied of investments with Big Pharma. The Big Pharma, of course, the VA, they're hand in hand. Okay. Pardon me. So. This stuff is all in most of my recent videos. It's at least three videos contain some of this information, okay? And I just put, like, some of the highlights in, okay? Pfizer, all of them, okay? And these people who are contracting with the VA. So, you know, she responds to them, and another thing she's done is she refuses to even give Robert the ability to file under ECF electronically. So they have to paper file their documents. This is something the federal court, for 20 years now, they've been favoring electronic filing and putting people to do that. I remember when it was a burden back then because we didn't know how to do it quickly. We had to, you know, scan everything. But now it's so simple. You have a PDF on your computer, you file it. You can file it. It's simple. But they're putting him through another hoop. And this judge is doing it. She won't even give him ECF access. But when she denies it, she doesn't. When you go on PACER, she puts it in I'm so flabbergasted. They put it in a minute order. Which is like just a note that's written in ECF, but there's no actual paper document for you to review and pull up online and download, okay? So they're hiding these things. And I've been talking about it outright. And in the same way, they got this other white female judge of privilege made her recuse herself from my case against Kelly Ayotte. She was a neocon, one-term U.S. senator. Long story, I won't get into it. But, you know, the damage was already done. She used to lock me out of her publicly advertised forums. Okay? And I actually want to go into this for a minute because it's relevant to what's going on with the Bozgoss family. Let me just give me some breath here. Okay. So Kelly Ayotte and John McCain, okay, more Ayotte than McCain, they would lock me out of these publicly advertised events whenever they were held on arguably private grounds, like a hotel. Okay? And I'm saying, why are you doing that? Okay? And so I sued them, and of course they found a way to make me sound like an idiot. Politico interviewed me, and then they lied and said that I classified myself as a liberal and all these things. I never said any of that, okay? But Politico is part of the machine. They're part of that whole cabal on the internet who says they determine what the news is and how to portray it. So the same thing's going on with the Bozgos family. They have legitimate complaints, but the so-called alternative media and major media, they're not following this case because they've had their marching orders. They've been taken to the woodshed, and they said, you know what? These niggas don't get coverage. Fuck it. Yeah, and that's exactly what's going on.
Excuse me.
Well, being in the protected class, I believe I can say that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you know what? That's so interesting because today in court, I told the judge the judge wanted to hear from me. She said, you coordinated with the general counsel, you coordinated with the assistant state's attorney, Fred Haynes, and also the policymaker and the building security guy. Did you allow them to help you serve process on these defendants? And
right,
I knew what she
right.
was trying to do because she wanted to trap me and say, well, if you didn't allow them, then you're guilty. I'm not guilty. We've been for 2.5 years been fighting for civil rights there at the VA, and you can't put me in there. What happened on the 6th? We were set up. And she says, you can't tell me that you were set up. I said, I can prove it right now. Let me prove it. And so I got my documents out, and she said, and I said, not only can I prove that Fred Haynes, the secretary or the U.S. state's attorney, but also Judge Amy Jackson, she set us up because I said, let me tell you what I did, because they were trying to figure out why were they Robert and my son there. And I said, look, before my son came there and we asked to serve the summons, we filed on the 29th of January, and
mm-hmm.
3 months had passed. On the 12th mm-hmm. of March, I said, can we have permission? Why are you holding up these orders?
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
within the orders, well, the clerk says, well, Jackson said to wait. The next thing that happened, they violated his rights, and on the 29th of March, they gave him this illegal resignation document that they can't even do. They violate the 1973 Rehabilitation Act, and they have Angela sign it because if she gets busted, she's going down. Not Burns, you know, the second in charge right now, who is the person in charge of the general counsel. They got all these general counsels and ORM and legal assistants to go out there and scrub your files to turn against you. And so I'm saying this is what Jackson did. We asked for reasonable accommodation, the reasonable accommodation on the 5th of March, and then what she did was she held on to our summonses, and then when Robert, she wasn't ready because they were trying to dismiss our case. And so the next thing that happened on the from the 12th, when we asked them, can we have permission, she said, not ready. On the next thing that happened on the 31st, they said, okay, you're going to, they proposed to fire you. And then Robert said, oh, look, and the doctor said, Robert, if you go back against your board, against our orders again, because he had five folks supporting him, then doctors, they said, you might even die. You may end up like, you may die. And so Robert resigned. I took the documents, his resignation documents, to headquarters, VA in D.C., got a secondary representative, go to HR, and she said, she came back and she said, they don't have HR. Well, I'm like, what do you mean they don't have HR? They don't have name tags, and they're not going to take it. They said, give it to Angela. And I went to the 5th floor, and I went to security, and we were joking. I said, you got to call Angela and have her get this resignation. And she said, no, tell her you're going to throw it away. I'm like, how can you? No, you're not. You're going to have her come here. They call the police. Now, if you're on a federal building and they call the security on you, you're going to jail for 6 months. Uh-huh. And I know, because I know some whistleblowers that have been in jail for 6 months. Then you got to prove your case. Then you got to get out. I'm like, I'm not going to jail for anyone. So I go out there, and I said, you're going to make her – your slavery days are over. He doesn't have to work here. And I give him – I pry my ID card, actually, out of his hand. And then I run out there, twist my leg, and I'm acting – I shouldn't have to go into a federal building and act a fool like that. But if you look at the video, because I taped record, you got to tape record everything. They don't tape record. You got to just do it.
And even then, they just ignore it. This ties in. I want to tie this in real quickly, Sue. It dovetails with what Bonicelle James said in that video when Lance and your husband were trying to lawfully serve her. That's what she said. This man is resigned in lieu of being fired for abusing his employees. When in fact, that's not what happened. And so that is a statement.
That's right.
It's a party admission of the federal rules, and it's a statement that can be held against her. And they know that, okay? Mm-hmm. And so, I was a litigator, man. I still follow cases. And I'm like, listen, that's a party admission, okay? And so she said it.
Yeah.
You know?
she says it, and she tells on herself. She's on the sixth.
And you have to,
she has to prove that.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so another thing that's really important is what they do. If you get in an accident, they hire a third-party workers' comp representative. In our case, it's Judy Lane. And so what happens is in your work supervisor report, Bonicelle lied. And she wrote all kinds of bogus stuff. Now, Robert was a workers' comp examiner before or after he got out of the military. So he knew that – He just knew the paperwork, et cetera. And then also, because he came into VA with not PTSD ever or in TIA, he didn't have these two. He had documents that shows that it was comparable to when he started the retaliation. I mean, he's got doctor's statements saying this. And what they did was they ignored the doctor's evidence. They took just fabricated lies. They put it in your workers' comp. And what they did, they hire a third-party workers' comp to sign off on it because she's supposed to be the expert. And then that delays your workers' comp. And they tell you, go get welfare or go on welfare. I'm like, what the heck? No, you didn't. And so, and then you go and your workers' comp is delayed, and then you have to wait, and you have to do the what do you call it? What is it called when you appeal it? Or maybe appeal. So, and then when we're in court, check this out. When we're in court on the 13th, because we're supposed to be criminals, we go in court. Bonicelle tells the judge in open court, your workers' comp claim is unfounded. Well, how does she know? We don't have the hearing until the 26th of July. So we go to the hearing on the 26th of July, and the exact thing that happened today happened on the 26th of July. It was late. We were supposed to be at the workers' comp meeting at 10 or 11, and we had to wait 1 hour. And then when we get in there, Judy Lane is there. And so not only that, then the result, you have to wait like 30 days here, 70 days here, and we get a document that is not signed by an attorney, you know, saying, hey, this is the affidavit, this is true, and they don't put in their last name. So the hearing, the person that was responsible for the hearing doesn't add her last name. They only add her first name, and then we're trying to get in contact with her because we want to extend. We need a little bit more time, and what they do is they hire somebody out of a group out of Kentucky, and you call that number, and I'm saying, hey, look, I need this person's last name. And she starts fussing at me, and I'm like, aren't you supposed to be working? And they're saying VA's hired them, and they're not allowed to give phone numbers out. And I said, why is that? And so that's just something that's really interesting, because Bonicelle gives and Judy, with Judy's signature again, gives us a fake workers' comp document that says Robert had existing PTSD, existing this, existing that. So therefore, You don't need a workers' comp. This is very important because when he,
right, that's
ho- when
that's
you,
huge.
When
that's
I,
so
when I ask
yes.
the ocean, huh? Yeah, when I
that's
when
so
I ask for an
yeah.
OSHA investigation, they will not do an OSHA investigation because it generates a congressional report and also a DOL, and it gets them guilty. There will be an investigation on why there's corruption.
Yep.
So that's why they denied an OSHA investigation. You got to keep in
yep.
mind that you have to demand it. They've got a executive order 12196. That allows
mm-hmm.
VA and all these other agencies to investigate themselves. So you got the hen house, the fox guarding the hen house. So you will you'll never win, not with these executive orders they don't go out there. People, the public, they don't know what they're paying for. What VA is doing is they're going out there collecting your tax dollars because they're saying to the public, I'm helping these vets and I'm doing this, but they're not. They're using charities, all these charities, the nonprofit charities. Those charities really help. Those are the ones that help you out. I'm just throwing that out because people need to understand
yeah.
that when you've got a workers' comp, when somebody's mistreating you, call you at least if you're not protected under the ADA law or the 1973 Rehabilitation Act, then you need to be protected. You have to be protected under the OSHA 1970 Act.
That's how you get your folks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I want to say
okay,
this quickly because I know we're going to close. I want to say this real quickly because I see we're running low on time. It's the code of silence, people, okay? And
mm-hmm.
In my lawsuit against Facebook, it's the same deal. And I know I may lose this lawsuit, okay? I've lost part of it already, but they've given me leave to file an amended complaint. How to sue facebook.blogspot.com. Anyway, so I do this to expose things because I know I'll end up making a documentary about it, and eventually the law will be changed. But these public speech platforms, they're privately owned, but they're worse than government clampdown because they're protected by the Communications and Decency Act, and they shall incur no liability because of it. So things are going to change, but right now they're not. And so it's a code of
yeah.
silence. When you have no voice, they pick and choose, they cherry pick what cases they want to talk about, and they silence
right.
us. And so it's like what my position in this whole life is, and I work for daily newspapers, by the way, and a weekly as an editor and a daily as a regular reporter before I went to law school. The deal is that I'm one of the original pamphleteers that are supposed to be protected. I know my history, okay? I went to top 50 law school. I know my rights, all right? And they know I know my rights. But they're like, okay, well, go to hell, Mr. King. We're still going to sue your clients because you have no voice. You don't have a big enough voice.
Yeah.
And that's why we need the
right.
individual veterans to rise up and start writing these newspapers, writing their congressmen and saying, look, we checked this website out. We checked out the videos. This is heinous. And that's what's necessary.
Yeah.
So going forward, that mm-hmm. is the focus.
Yeah, that's one of the things we're facing and so many issues. Right now we're dealing with Michigan and the probate system out there that is
mm-hmm.
just monstrous and
mm-hmm.
being shut down various places, you know, shut down or being served notice by Facebook. You know, you violated our policy. I haven't violated anything. You got pornography
right.
all over the place. What in the hell could I be violating? And,
yep.
you know, just, well, and I send it to them too. I said, if this is okay, this doesn't violate your policy, but my little post
yeah.
does, huh? Imagine
yeah,
that.
Right, right,
and,
right.
Oh, they should
but,
be doing
this is, they tried. That didn't work. But, no, I save stuff for those occasions, and I send it back
yeah.
to them. And you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it's quite obscene. And you let that run, but I said something you don't like, so you're going to suspend that, I don't think so. And
that's right.
So and that's exactly what I do. But anyway, we are down to about a minute here. I want to thank you all for coming on. I can
mm-hmm.
tell you're extremely passionate about this, and I don't blame you. I would be to keep us posted on what happens here, especially with
yeah.
DJ.
Yeah.
I already don't like her,
mm-hmm.
but anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, by the way, folks out there, listen,
yeah.
you can follow this all. My blog is mostly on my personal blog. It's Chris King's mm-hmm. First Amendment page on Blogspot. Chris King blog will get you there. And then do a search in the little box up there for Boz Goz, and you'll see it all, folks. Thank you.
Yeah, that's B-O-Z-G-O-Z. Yeah.
Right.
And things, things will change.
Yes, I hope so. If they have to at some time, Sue. It can't keep going like this.
I know. I know. It's crazy.
It really is.
Well, I would like to say thank you very much to Marty for hosting us, and I also like to thank all the listeners around the world for giving us 90 minutes of your time this evening.
Yes, better please share this link. I'll be putting it up on my blog. Share Marty. Share it.
Yeah.
Okay. And this show will be available in archives, so you can listen to it anytime. And for those of you who are listening, trying to get the scoop and get some goods, and so you could do some other dastardly deed, let me know if you need help. Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow night, me and Cuz, about the Midwest here and all the crap that's going on here. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Robert, Sue, and Chris, thank you for joining in. We'll see you all tomorrow night. Good night, everyone.
Okay, thank you. Okay, bye.